It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
Thanks to farming, I've largely abandoned the illusion that human society is somehow separate from the natural world. I'm comfortable acknowledging that I'm not managing nature, but instead I'm just another cog in it, in the larger ecosystem built upon predation and death, as it was observed in an acute missive to The New Yorker a couple weeks ago about animal welfare. The entire world is really just an energy exchange where pretty much every creature eats others and is eventually also eaten. That letter to the editor echoed my deeply held suspicion. We are all simultaneously both victim and victimizer. It described, but did not endorse, an extreme animal rights position in which humans are morally obliged to alleviate the suffering not just of the domesticated animals in our charge, which is a fine proposition for me, but also that of uncultivated wild creatures, including small prey species like fish, rodents, and insects. These species are said to experience lives of pure anguish, and the advocates insist we should step in and do something about that. One suggestion, airdropping vegan meat substitutes to predators like lions to divert them from their prey. After reading this not-so-modest proposal over coffee, I went out for my morning chores. En route to the barn, I passed a young apple tree which did not look so good. Almost overnight, it seemed, large chunks of its leaves had been chewed up. Gypsy moth caterpillars still clung to the underside of the leaves. Immediately, I went methodically from branch to branch, seeking out and squashing the caterpillars between the leaves. I squished and I squished and I squished without mercy. An observer would think I was taking a perverse pleasure in it all, and maybe I was. Cue the psycho shower scene music. After about the 12th victim, the process was more automatic, and my mind naturally drifted back to reflect on my earlier reading. Was the gypsy moth my prey? Or was I a tree savior, ridding of it of its predatory moths? What about those pesky deer flies buzzing about my head and biting my arm as I worked on the tree? I succeeded at smashing every fourth or fifth one. Did that make me its predator, or was I the prey? I wondered, as I walked to the barn, whether it's true that the primary experience of small wild animals and insects is pure, unending horror. To my observation, the dozens of rabbits, squirrels, and chipmunks scampering around the idyllic landscape here, munching on the still unripe peaches, tender vegetable seedlings, and blooming tulips they encounter, are pretty carefree. The insects similarly graze on flowers, animals, poop piles, and me, with relatively little regard to the birds that surely eat some of them. No doubt they all have moments when they have to evade predators, as humans do, but that hardly seems the primary theme of their days. Look closely, there's also joy and happiness. Less angst than in most of the humans I know. And yes, there will be despair and fear in their final moments, but can't the same be said for all us all? While putting out the sheep's favorite grain treats, I wondered how we'd even tempt a lion to nibble on an airdropped quinoa burger. A live gazelle is surely more guaranteed to be fresh and something he can sink his teeth into. Would we have to trick him with gazelle-shaped vegan patties? And what if we did manage to prevent all the rabbits from being eaten by coyotes? Wouldn't the now vast bunny army lay waste to our cultivated fields? Be careful what you wish for, vegans. If animals stopped eating other animals in this cruelty-free world, wouldn't the balances of nature built up over millennia, already challenged by climate change, be thrown into utter chaos? There in the barn, I felt something nuzzle my backside. It was Sophie, my cleverest ewe. She looked into my eyes and seemed to read my mind. Why must you mock something that you already know is absurd, she asked me, as I was just about to take my sarcastic rant to the next level. An imaginary reconciliation of all the former hunters and prey. Please don't make some boorish joke about all those animals taking on the sensibilities of liberal college arts majors. Perhaps they'll sing Kumbaya around various campfires on the savannah where they formerly ripped one another apart, Sophie complained between her nibbles of grain, clearly annoyed at my sneering superiority. I really can't bear such pedantry. Far more cruel than your squishing caterpillars, Mark. Also, must you use a cliched image like singing Kumbaya? Couldn't we be listening to Lana Del Rey? Sophie sighed, exasperated, before wandering off to look for her baby. With that, she shamed me out of my tiresome glee, but I still focused back on the one ironic truth that animal rights activists like least. The animals that are most secure, freest from hunger and from fear of predation, are, along with pets, domesticated livestock like Sophie. Yesterday, my friends Dave and Susan called me to come catch a rooster who's been foraging food on their lawn and spending nights on their porch. He is the last survivor of a group of four, which they suspect were hatched by a neighbor and then released because the neighbors had hoped for laying hens, not roosters. Fearful he would be the next to be pounced on by local possum or weasels, David and Susan thought he'd be safer here. And he will be, if I resolve the recurring hawk incursions. At least as safe as me, judging from the news I read in the paper every day. Were I to measure my moments of joy and fear and elation and worry against my wild and domestic animals, against the rabbits and doodle and the new rooster, I suspect I'd win the angst sweepstakes, though I'm undoubtedly happier having them all here around me, and suspect the feeling may be mutual. Unless you feed us some tasteless vegan quinoa burger, Sophie warned.
Agriculture is underwritten by Tricana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.